Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome once again to the program. A good Thursday to you. Thanks for tuning in. It is Thursday, is it not?
I'm almost certain it is.
Yes,
almost.
It is. Okay, tomorrow will be Valentine's Day then.
Happy Valentine's Day.
For those that
Day.
Are keeping track.
Yes. So.
I bought myself some mints today just to... Well, actually, we shared them at staff meeting, but it was mostly for me.
Is that why you only told me to take one?
No, I figured we'd come around and it never came back.
Oh,
so.
I see. Yeah. It was organic. Okay.
Okay. All right. We could talk Olympics if you want, but I haven't really been keeping track.
I was concerned about Mr. Bob Costas'
eyes. Yes.
They were getting pretty red.
I could relate to that. I had a... Years ago, I did a little stint at the State Fair, Minnesota State Fair, and was a dorm parent, part of the 4-H program, in the livestock barns.
A dorm parent for the cows?
For the livestock, no. It was for those... Like the 4-H kids
there with these. Okay.
And actually got some sort of, you know, dust infection in my eyes.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, that was nasty. I'm sorry for Bob. So we're just actually filling time to give our guest a chance to catch his breath because he's on the East Coast where they're shoveling out. Let's bring in Mike McManus to the broadcast. Mike, you got your breath yet?
I did, yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
And 10 inches of snow today or so
13.
In your neighborhood?
13. 13. This is the biggest we've had in years.
You know, here in the Midwest, we are so honored to be able to share that joy with you. So we are looking forward to just hearing more about the reports. But let's jump into today's topic because it's, leading up to Valentine's Day, I thought there's lots of talk about, obviously marriage, romance, and love. This is the season where love is all you need. In fact, we could play a Beatles tune, I guess, if we wanted to talk about that. But along with that, was there's more to relationship than love, and certainly more to marriage. And Mike McManus has been researching that and speaking on it and making a difference in this area for a number of years. And we just wanted to have him back on with us in Connecting Faith. Mike and Harriet McManus are co-chairs of Marriage Savers. It's a ministry whose goal is to help churches and communities cut their divorce rate and raise their marriage rate. And they've been helping clergy in cities across the country, developing, adopting community marriage policies. And Mike has worked for Time Magazine for some years. He writes a weekly syndicated column. He's written several books, including Marriage Savers, Helping Your Friends and Family Avoid Divorce, How to Cut America's Divorce Rate in Half, a strategy every state should adopt. And he and Harriet co-wrote the book Living Together, Myths, Risks and Answers, which I think the last time we were on, we talked about the issue of cohabitation. We'll get into that again. But, Mike, officially, welcome to Connecting
Thank
Faith.
You.
Good to have you here.
It's great to be with you.
You know, let's jump in and talk about that. You know, our cultural clash on at least same-sex marriage, it seems like, the emphasis has always been on love. You know, is love enough for establishing a marriage?
No. You really need skills. And we need to know how to argue in a way that's constructive. And many people do not ever learn that. It can be taught in a day. It's not that complicated. But that's one skill that's missing in an awful lot of marriages, and it's why many marriages break up. There also needs to be, in my view, a joint prayer life by the husband and wife. My wife and I, each morning, read a bit of scripture and some commentary by Scripture Union, and then we pray for one another and for whatever the needs are of the people we know each morning. And that builds a solid spiritual foundation for the relationship, and it makes it easier to prompt us to forgive the offenses we see in the other person. So a combination of skills and faith, as I see it, are the two most important things.
Mike, we should probably just set the stage a little bit and talk a bit about where we are as a nation in terms of,
sure.
of where you know, marriage is, you know, we hear lots of statistics about divorce rates and those things, but just give us a little sense of, I mean, you've been studying this, you know, for several decades.
Yes. In 1960, 67% of American adults were married. This past year, it was only 48%. That's a horrific decline. And what it means is, I just got a report yesterday that only 66% of our teenagers are growing up in a home with married mothers and fathers. In other words, in 44% are growing up in homes with married mothers and fathers. In other words, the majority, I misspoke there, 56% are growing up in homes where the parents have rejected each other. Either they never married or they divorced. And for a child, that's cataclysmic. A child of divorce or of non-marriage is about three times as likely as one from an intact home to drop out of school or be expelled or to get pregnant as a teenager. And they're even 12 times as likely to end up in jail. We're throwing our kids away because we haven't been able to build the bonds between men and women that can go the distance. In our country, 41% of the births now are to unwed mothers. Just to give you a sense of perspective, in Japan it's 2%. We're 20 times worse. And our divorce rate is three times higher than that of Britain or France. I mean, we're off the charts in the area of marital cohesiveness. And I just find it alarming. And the good news is these things are reversible. We have worked, my wife and I, in a group we call Marriage Savers, in more than 200 cities. And we've trained couples in good marriages that you can find in any church to become mentors to other couples in their church. And the result is we can almost eliminate divorce in the local church. Man, that's big news. And it hasn't, you know, it's important news. In the cities that have adopted a marriage, let me give an example of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Your divorce rate there, and let me just get the numbers here in front of me, came down, here it is. They adopted this community marriage policy, as we call it, in 1997, and by 2001, 4 years later, your divorce rate for the whole metropolitan area, or for Ramsey County, had come down 14.5%. That's pretty exciting.
That's a significant change, and I guess maybe we should talk a bit about, you know, the kind of impact failed marriages have on a home. I mean, we mentioned sort of the children, but how does it impact a community over time? It seems like our society is sort of, well, that's just, you know, a given, the way it is. But give us a sense of in terms of community policy, why it's so important that we promote marriage.
Well, it's the thing that we tend to take for granted. You know, our daughters or our sons are getting married, and we say it's wonderful, and we have a wedding ceremony, and we spend a lot of money on weddings. Something like $25,000 per wedding in this country. It's a huge amount of money. And the whole focus is on the day. And in most cases, there's no focus on how is this couple going to be able to resolve the problems they face as they grow older. The problem is that churches do not know what works. They don't know how to help. And this is generalization. Obviously, there are some churches that do, but in general, most churches do not know how to prepare this couple for a lifelong marriage. And we think there are really three ingredients to doing so. One is to take what's called a premarital inventory. That's a detailed series of one sentence, 150 statements, in which the man and woman are asked to respond whether they agree or disagree with statements like these. Just a moment. It's hard for me to ask my partner for what I want. When we're having a problem, my partner often refuses to talk about it. Or to take a financial question, sometimes I wish my partner were more careful about spending money. And the male and the female go online and indicate whether they agree or disagree with these statements There's 150 of them. And we train couples in healthy marriages then to discuss these issues with couples who are who've been assigned to them. One couple working with one couple. And we recommend that this take 6 or 7 sessions. If the couple is cohabiting, it's going to take 7 sessions because we have to try to persuade that couple to move apart. Pastors tend to close their eyes to the cohabitation question, but that's a big mistake because last year, 8 million couples were living together, and only 1.4 million got married. In other words, the breakup rate for those who begin their relationship with cohabitation is more than 80%. And those who marry after living together are about 50% more likely to divorce. In other words, what this shows is the wisdom of Scripture. Scripture says, flee fornication, to put it in the King James Version, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. In newer versions, it's put more nicely, flee sexual immorality. But we are not only fornicating, we're living with people before the wedding. And you can do that, but you can't, I mean, you have the choice to do that, but you don't have the choice on the consequences of it. And this is what many women, we wrote a book, as you mentioned, called Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. One of the myths widely believed by women is that if I live with him, he'll see how wonderful I am and ask me to marry him. But men cohabit for a different reason. They cohabit because they want the sex, they want the shared rent, they want the convenience, but they don't want the commitment. Otherwise, they'd ask the girl to marry them in the first place. So this clash of purposes becomes clear to the woman after about a year, year and a half, and she moves out. Now, she's a changed person at that point. She's no longer the optimistic person she was before. She's discouraged, depressed. She has a low self-regard oftentimes. And she may have a baby. So her odds of getting married after this horrific experience are much lower. If she'd played by the rules, she would have been, and partner A didn't work out, well, partner B will come along, and she's up for partner B. It's not a tragedy if a relationship breaks up, but it's a tragedy if it breaks up after you've lived together for a year and a half.
I'm talking today with Mike McManus, so we're reviewing some of the insights in his book he and Harriet have written together called Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. Addressing the issue of cohabitation. We're also talking about how to cut America's divorce rate in half, a strategy that every state should adopt. We'll hear more about the community marriage policies and talk more about the organization Marriage Savers. Mike McManus is the co-founder of Marriage Savers. It's a ministry whose goal is to help churches and communities cut their divorce rate and raise their marriage rate. And we invite you to join the conversation. Maybe that you have been involved in some mentoring of couples or want to get some insight about the importance of pre-marriage counseling, those things. Love to have you join the conversation. The number is 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. More with Mike McManus in just a moment.
As parents, you always want to know what or whom is influencing your children. While most of us have a good handle on this in the real world, did you ever think about who could be influencing your child online? Zabra is a new way for you to protect and monitor your kids' influences while on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Zabra works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to alert you to potentially harmful conversations on social media. For more information, visit Zabra.com. That's Zabra.com to get started today.
Life's journey is unpredictable. One day you're in the valley, and the next day you're on top of the mountain. Set Apart 2014. Ah, the journey invites you to share life and faith stories with Dee Breston, Angie Smith, Susie Larson, and Wendy Pett at this year's conference, March 7th and 8th at University of Northwestern, St. Paul. For more information about Set Apart speakers, workshops, and to register, call 651-631-5151 or simply setapartconference.com.
Love, love me do. You know I love you. Well, it's 18 past the hour, and we're heading toward Valentine's Day, taking a real look, an honest look at marriage in America, and getting some help from Mike McManus. Mike and Harriet, husband and wife, have co-chaired and co-founded Marriage Savers, the ministry established back in the, I think, mid-90s.
That's right.
And they have worked with over 200 cities and helping to adopt a community marriage policy. We'll talk a little bit more about what that really looks like. And Mike and Harriet have written several books, including Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, maybe there's been, you know, some questions about cohabitation in your family, or just you've gone through a broken marriage and have a thought, want to weigh in, you're welcome to call us. Or if you're involved in a ministry church and say, I'd like to make our church more focused and intentional about helping preserve and strengthen marriages, you can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484.
Toll free.
Yeah, well, it is good. We appreciate that. And we should mention, too, Mike, I guess your website. Let's just mention that right at the outset,
Thank
too.
Thank you. It's marriagesavers.org.
All right. Marriagesavers.org.
Okay.
Mike, I want to talk about, you talked about the three ingredients, you know, a pre-marriage inventory. You you get involved in encourage mentoring. What does this sort of look like? I mean, does it happen in a church setting, or is it something that happens as a community?
It happens in a church setting, because you have in every church couples with healthy marriages who would be glad to help another couple, but they've just never been asked, inspired, or trained to do so. In our home church in suburban Washington, D.C., we pioneered this process. We call it, intense marriage preparation, and we ask the couples who are getting prepared for marriage to take this inventory, and then we trained a group of couples who were, on average, married 30 years to sit down with a young couple considering marriage, and sometimes not so young couple, and then talk through the issues that they themselves have identified on their inventory. We prepared, in the 1990s, 288 couples for marriage in that decade. Of that number, 58 decided, whoops, this is not the person I should marry. No, that's huge. That's 20% deciding that this is the wrong person for me. If your marriage preparation process in your church has a 2% dropout rate, then you know you're just doing powder puff stuff. It doesn't amount to anything. But of the 230 couples who did marry in the 1990s, we only know of 16 divorces now in two decades. So that's about a 7% failure rate, or better than 90% success rate. There are probably some divorces we don't know about, our mentors don't know about, but of the ones we know, this is about better than a 90% success rate, and we can help any church to achieve that.
Did you have any idea when you started developing these tools that the kind of impact that it could have? I mean, you know, was your motivation, because you were a magazine correspondent, right?
I was a Time correspondent, but that was many years ago.
Yeah.
And I've been writing a syndicated column I call Ethics and Religion since 1981. And that's given me a chance to travel the country and look at what some people are doing that's working. And I had heard about this inventory called Prepare, and I wrote a column about it. And my thought is, why not bring that idea into my own church? It seemed to make sense to me. And what we were doing at that point was having lectures. You know, couples preparing for marriage would come for 6 lectures. And someone would come in as a doctor and talk about various issues with regard to health, and someone else, a psychologist, would come in. And they were all fine, but there wasn't much. I couldn't see much evidence that this was making much difference. But when we had the inventory and trained mentor couples, boy, a 90% success rate over two decades, that tells you you're doing something. And we've trained thousands of couples to do this across the country in different places.
Talking today with Mike McManus, co-founder of Marriage Savers. I want to go back to talk a little bit about just the issue of cohabitation, because it does seem like we've kind of, you said, you know, maybe sometimes churches and pastors sort of close their eyes to that.
I think they do, because about 80% of our marriages are performed by clergy, okay? And we know that about two-thirds of those who are getting married are living together. So why do the pastors do it? Why do they close their eyes to it? Because they're hoping that this couple is going to become a member of their church. I mean, I think that's one reason they aren't being demanding. They think, well, we'll marry them, and at least they're getting married, and that's a good thing. Well,
and let me interrupt you. That is a good thing, isn't it? Or not necessarily?
The good thing would be to say to this couple, look, we want to marry you, but we want you to move apart for a period of time. In living together without the commitment of marriage, you've learned some wrong things, and we want to teach you skills on how to resolve conflict, for example, skills on how to communicate in a more effective way. And we really can't do that as effectively with you living together because you're basically living in contradiction to what Scripture says. Scripture says, flee fornication. Flee sexual immorality. You're not fleeing from it. You're embracing it. And we are asking you to move apart for at least these 3 or 4 months before the wedding. Now, my church does that. We won't marry anybody who's living together. But it's pretty rare for a church to take that stand. And in doing so, a church is going to lose some couples to another church, of course. They're going to go down the street because they think, well, we can find another church to marry us. We don't have to jump through all these hoops that this church wants us to do. But the young couples don't know what they need. And the pastors don't seem to know that they're courting a huge risk. Many of those couples who are cohabiting will break up. I mean, of the couples that my wife and I have personally mentored 61 couples, and the couples who were cohabiting were the ones most at risk for breaking up. So by getting them to move apart in the first place, that gets them in a situation where they're more ready to learn and more ready to learn from errors that they had made. I mean, her assumption that if she lives with him, he's going to ask her to marry him is a natural assumption. And perhaps the couple genuinely was trying to test the relationship before the wedding. But, sin is not a very good way to experiment.
Mike McManus talking to us today as we talk about the community marriage policy, about marriage savers, about cohabitation. We head into Valentine's Day. We're talking about the importance of building and strengthening marriages and how valuable that is. I'm wondering, Mike, is this something that can change take place if it's only kind of from the bottom up? I mean, individual churches and families say, I want to get serious about this, because it doesn't seem like it's really encouraged from the top down in terms of maybe, national government policy.
Actually, during the Bush administration, he added a provision providing $150 million a year to try to strengthen marriages and families, and marriages, particularly those of low-income people. And I thought it was a great idea, but there's no evidence it made a difference. I mean, none. Government really can't help couples to build relationships, but churches can. And our community marriage policies are not just about marriage preparation. We're also helping couples at 4 additional stages. I don't know what your next commercial break is.
We'll hold that because we do have a break coming up here in just a minute, and I want to just give you a chance to kind of unpack those. So we'll talk about.
Let me give you one other statistic before you go. In Waukegan, in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, they signed a community marriage policy in 1998. And by 2001, just 3 years later, their divorce rate had come down 16%. In other words, this can make a difference for the whole city.
Yeah, which is what we want to see. We're going to take your calls as well in the next few minutes and talk more. We'll get to some of those 4 stages of building and strengthening marriage with Mike McManus. Mike and his wife, Harriet, have co-founded Marriage Savers, and it's a ministry whose goal is to help churches and communities cut their divorce rate and raise the marriage rate. And he's written several books, including Marriage Savers, Helping Your Friends and Family Avoid Divorce, the one they co-wrote here four or five years ago, I guess, Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. And you can find out more about them on their website, marriagesavers.org. We'll also have a link on our website. And we'll talk more with Mike in a moment. Welcome you to the conversation as well. It's 877-933-2484. Or if you want to connect with us via email. You can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith Show page, and there's an email link right there. And we'll continue in just a moment. Stay tuned. Well, there's a little more to it, as we've been discovering today. Valentine's Day coming up, and so everybody's sort of talking about love. We want to have a realistic talk about marriage and even the divorce rate, cohabitation, some of those affected areas. And we're getting that from Mike McManus today, who's co-founder of Marriage Savers. It's a ministry whose goal is to help churches and communities cut their divorce rate and raise their marriage rate. They've helped more than 200 cities across the country adopt community marriage policies in agreement to make marriage such a priority in their churches that the divorce rate falls. And Mike's written several books, including he and Harriet wrote together, Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. And I want to get back to, we were talking a little bit about some stages first, but I want to jump in and take Barry's question. Barry's calling in this morning, listening to Faith 900. And Barry, you had a good question to ask. Mike, go ahead.
First, well, Mike, thank you for your very important ministry and all that you do for it.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, thanks. But I got a question about of the six or seven times that you meet with a couple,
yes.
What is the one thing that you would really want them to take away from? What's the one thing that you really want to emphasize for a successful marriage?
The most important thing is a biblical idea. And that's in Paul's letter to the Ephesians 5:21. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, the woman and the man are equally important. And to make a marriage work, we have to submit to the strong feelings of our spouse one way or another, if it's at all possible. And that submission strategy is one that will make the solving of problems much easier. If she's very concerned about X and he's not particularly concerned about it, he needs to stop and submit to her and listen to what she's saying in some detail and say, well, now why are you concerned about that? And then try to help her deal with that problem. If he's concerned about something, then she needs to submit and listen to what he's saying in some detail. It's not enough to say, well, I don't think that's very important. What you have to say is, look, I don't have time to talk about it right now, but can we talk about that after dinner tonight when the kids are in bed? So you set a time and place to discuss the issue and submit to one another.
Mike, are there, you talked about the skills needed, prayer and
right.
skills. That is this will come through, counseling, like the sessions you talked about, mentors, or is it something where we – should be kind of just picking it up on our own?
Well, I wanted to outline four other strategies for building marriages in a church. We talked about marriage preparation, using an inventory and training mentor couples to administer it. The second stage where help is needed is to enrich all the existing marriages of the church. There needs to be an annual event to do that, and I'll come back to that in a minute. We need to have a strategy to help the marriages that are in crisis to be restored. We need to help those couples who are separated to be reconciled. Let's say she wants a divorce, but he does not. What can he do in that situation to increase the odds that they can have reconciliation? And finally, if there's a remarriage, how do you help those couples with stepchildren be successful? Because these marriages normally fail at a 70% rate. So let me go through the four strategies and give examples of what any church could do. And we could help any church do these things. We could come and train any church to do these things. But the second answer is to help all couples in the church kind of get a booster shot. Marriages run down over time. And we need to recognize that and build into our strategy an annual event or series of events to kind of give every marriage a booster shot. One that we particularly like is called 10 Great Dates. And this is something you might do, let's say, between beginning in January, running through February and into March, or it could be done in the summertime, let's say. But you do it for 10 consecutive weeks, and the couples come to the church, watch a 15-minute video on a issue like resolving honest conflict, or becoming an encourager, or building a creative love life. And that is a springboard, and then the couple goes out and has dinner to talk about and talks about this issue in their own marriage over dinner, or perhaps over dessert and coffee. All the couple has to do is buy a paperback book for $14 that has a chapter on each of these subjects. Now, hopefully the couple reads the chapter that week. But even if they haven't, they go to the back of the book, and there's a page to tear out for each date. They say date 6, there's a page for him, or 5 questions for him, 5 questions for her. And they answer these questions while they're waiting for the dessert and coffee to be served. And that helps them to focus the issue on, let's say, resolving conflict. What is it she likes or doesn't like about the way they resolve conflict right now? The thing that's interesting about this is, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for example, they started this with, I think it was 5 churches got together and said, we're going to provide free babysitting for the first 80 couples who sign up for this. Well, they had 120 couples sign up. That was a nice problem. They had to go out and get some more grandmas to watch the kids. This worked so well that the next year, 15 churches said, we're going to provide free babysitting to 200 couples, and we're going to watch these videos and then go out and have dates. It's fun. It's easy. No training is needed, really. And it's a self-contained package. It only costs $50. It's something you can order from Marriage Savers. That's an example of what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of other stuff available, like this. Love and Respect is another kit. There's just a number of little kits like this that you can buy for about the same price. The third strategy is if the marriage is in crisis, and here there aren't as many answers. Let's say there's been adultery. Well, every church has got couples who have survived adultery, but the pastor has never thought about training the couple who survived adultery to tell their story of recovery to the couple in crisis over adultery. And that's something we show how to train those couples. We call them couples who've stepped up to the brink of divorce and stepped back. They're sort of back to the brink couples. And those couples really have a treasure to share with couples who have a similar problem. They can say, look, we know adultery breaks trust, but this is what we did to restore trust. That's exactly what the couple in crisis needs to hear. Now, if the couple... the situation is more in deeper crisis, and she says, look, I'm sick of this. I want a divorce. I'm fed up with you for ABC reasons. And the man suddenly realizes, my gosh, I have been neglecting her, and I'm really ready to do what I need to do to save this marriage. And he asks his pastor, what can I do? The pastor says, well, I'll pray for you, or why don't you bring her in? She won't come. Well, see, at that point, the pastor typically really has no answers. Well, we have an answer, and it's called Marriage 911. When you have an emergency, right, you call 911. Well, this is a marriage emergency. So he can order materials from us, a workbook that he takes, a course over 12 weeks, which is designed to help him grow so much he attracts his wife back. And he takes this course with a male friend and asks this friend, would you meet with me for an hour a week to help me kind of keep be an accountability partner? And we have a workbook for the support partner so he knows what questions to ask each week. And the kit, the two things, the workbook for the fellow that's trying to save his marriage and the support partner workbook, these two things cost just $28. Now, to save a marriage for and we save over half of marriages with just this little kit. Now, the fifth answer is if you have a remarriage with children from a previous marriage, and about half of our marriage today involves someone who's been married before. There's been a failed marriage, and so there's probably children involved. Those children do not want a new mom. They don't want a new dad, and they can make that person's life miserable. You're not my mom. You're the wicked stepmother. I'm only going to listen to dad, and they can drive her right out of that marriage. But a United Methodist Church down near Atlanta invented an answer they call the Step Family Support Group, and this is a place and a plan for couples with stepchildren who meet every other Thursday night, let's say, and learn from each other how do you make this kind of marriage work. What do you say when your daughter says, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm only going to listen to dad? there are couples who have found the right answers for that, and they can tell you, this is what we did, and it works. And so the couples learn from each other. Now, none of these strategies involve high cost. None of them involve professional people. It's training people that are in the pews of the church today to help other couples prepare, enrich existing marriages, restore the troubled ones, help separated couples to reconcile, and step families to be successful. And a community marriage policy is basically an agreement by the pastors, for example, of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, or to do that. They signed an agreement to launch all five of these reforms in Elkhorn in the year 2000. Just 1 year later, the divorces were down 16.3%. So it's possible to change the whole character of a city by doing this.
And as you said right at the outset, I mean, that in many ways, the children become throwaway because of our sort of lax focus on this. I'm interested, you know, just to hear what couples that are mentoring, what that does for them. How are they impacted by doing this work, and what has it done for their marriage?
Their marriages grow deeper and more joyful because their marriage now has a purpose beyond themselves and beyond their own children. They see that they have a mission to serve others. I mean, we're all supposed to, Scripture says we're supposed to love one another. Well, how do you love one another in a way that's practical? Here's a practical way for Mr. and Mrs. Jones to be of help to the Smiths, and then to the Andersons, and then, you know, to, every church has got couples like this who could be of help. We find that if this is done well and you get enough churches involved, we can actually have spectacular results. For example, Austin, Texas, is a city of about 1 million people, and we got 252 churches involved there, and the result is that in 5 years, their divorce rate came down 50% for the whole city, a city of 1 million people, and its suburbs. Another example of that is Kansas City, Kansas, and its suburbs, or Salem, Oregon. Modesto, California came down 57% in its divorce rate. And the most extraordinary case is El Paso, Texas, where we've actually been back there twice, and their divorce rate dropped 79.5%. Most households in El Paso are headed by married couples, and the result is their crime rate has been the lowest in the United States of any major city for the last 3 years. Austin is the fourth lowest. So if you do a job of helping couples build marriages, this is going to affect the entire culture. You're going to cut your crime rate. El Paso is a city of about 665,000. I think they had only 8 murders in a recent year. Good grief.
Yeah. You would think as sort of focused on the pragmatism that we should be probably in our government and authorities, that they would look at this and say, well, this is a pretty effective strategy, and let's
right.
go with this, get behind it.
Well, the key is people who are listening to this program. Some of you may think, oh, golly, this is awfully big. It's so many different things. I don't know how to do it all. What you could do is just have your pastor call me. Now, I'm going to give my phone number here. I'll pull out a pencil. I'll give it to you right on the air. And, you know, we could help hit your church alone do this. Or you could work with several other churches or for the whole city. You know, I'm not trying to say what to do, but the key is to get the attention of your pastor. And here's my phone number, 301-469-5873.
We're talking with Mike McManus, Marriage Savers, and we're going to talk more in a moment, and would love to have you join the conversation. If you have a question or comment about our discussion today as we talk, what does it take to really save a marriage and transform a community? And we're going to get into maybe a sort of a controversial topic a bit about parts of our cities and communities that have higher rates and are affected. We'll get Mike's perspective on that. Mike, co-founder of Marriage Savers, author of several books, including How to Cut America's Divorce Rate in Half, a strategy every state should adopt. You can call us at 877-933-2484.
Does your support to Faith Radio make a difference? We recently heard from one of our listeners. I just want to say thank you for all you have done in the lives of both my husband and me. We have listened to the station throughout our 3 years of marriage, and it has provided a great sense of support as together we are battling a challenge in our life. Thank you, good friend, for making this story possible through your generous support of Faith Radio. You can give simply and safely online at myfaithradio.com. I like you.
No, I like you.
No, I really like you.
I liked you first.
As you can see, at Faith Radio, we really like our friends on Facebook.
And we hope to connect with you there soon.
Find us when you search My Faith Radio on Facebook.
Or just browse to Facebook.com/MyFaithRadio.
It's connecting faith to your everyday life
right in your Facebook newsfeed.
We look forward to your like.
My Faith Radio on Facebook.
Forty-seven past the hour, talking with Mike McManus today. Mike and Harriet, his wife, co-founded Marriage Savers back in 1996. Its goal is to push down divorce and cohabitation rates and raise marriage rates. And the key strategy is for local pastors and churches to adopt a community marriage policy. And he's been giving us some statistics and the impact of what's happened all across the nation as this is happening. And we probably don't have all the numbers of the real impact of this, but just, you know, crime statistics alone should be something that we should wake up to a little bit. I'm wondering, Mike, if, you know, can you really address, you know, some of these issues without maybe getting into a concern about maybe racism and fatherlessness prevalent in the black community? I mean, is this something that, you know, everybody embraces, or is there pushback?
Well, there's no question that the crime rate in black neighborhoods is miles ahead of sort of traditional middle-class white neighborhoods. And the real reason for this is that there are relatively few marriages there. About 73% of black children are now being born out of wedlock. And those children really have a quite bleak future. Their likelihood of being able to be successful in school or in work is quite small. And so we need to think about a way to try to change the character of those neighborhoods. Now, the good news is that almost all black women go to church, and a good significant portion of men do as well. And there are couples good with healthy marriages in every African-American church, and I might say every Latin-American church too, Latin-Hispanic church. And those couples can be trained to do this work. And that's really the major answer. But I do want to talk about one other issue, which is perhaps even more controversial, and that is we need to change state laws. It's just too easy to get divorced today. I mean, why is the divorce rate in America three times higher than Britain or France? Three times. If a British woman wants a divorce in that country and her husband does not, they have to wait 5 years to get the divorce. And in France, they have to wait 6 years. We've got 29 states here where there's a zero waiting period. What sense does that make? What we need to have is at least 1 year period of delay before a divorce can take place. And during that year, two things should happen. In fact, we have recommended a policy, a proposal, and I can send information on this to anybody who's interested, in which we're saying that even before a divorce is filed in America, you should have to, if you have children, take a course on the impact of divorce on kids before the divorce is even filed. And that would persuade an awful lot of people to get prepared. That would persuade a lot of people to work at their marriage rather than give up, because of the terrible effect it could have on kids. The second thing that needs to be done is that we need to have at least a year's time from the time you file for divorce to the time that you can get the divorce. In Wisconsin, there is no waiting period whatsoever. What sense does that make? In other states, we've got South Dakota, for example, no waiting period at all. Michigan, same thing. And this is destructive of marriage. The states which require more time have lower divorce rates. For example, Illinois and Pennsylvania require up to 2 years if the divorce is contested, and their divorce rate's about half that of these hothead states with a zero waiting period. So I'm suggesting that you might have a year's waiting period minimum, and if the divorce is contested 2 years, that we need to have laws to change that the state legislature needs to consider.
And certainly there's a place for the church to jump in the breach at every level, I guess. So before our time is gone, Mike, I want to get Jill's question calling in from Minneapolis because I think represents some maybe questions that other people are asking too. Jill, go ahead. You're on with Mike McManus.
Yes, we deal with marriage mentoring. We've been married 40 years.
Good for you, Jill.
It's very rewarding, and we like the harder couples, actually. We've done the newly married, but we're in it for the long haul. And so my question is, we have a couple right now who's dealing with infidelity, and honestly, we've not dealt with that. So do you have resources or recommendations? This is a believing couple.
So Jill, you're in a mentoring situation, right? You and your husband? So.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Undoubtedly, you can ask your pastor who in this church went through adultery, say, 10 years ago and has come out of it on the other side. And for that issue, you might have that couple meet with this other couple. I mean, you could be mentoring them on issues like the inventory and teaching skills of communication and so forth. But on the issue where you have not had experience, then they need to sit down with a couple who's had that experience and survived it. I'm sure your pastor could point you to a couple like that.
Mike, I want to make sure we cover, we're talking about, one of the things a community marriage policy can do, it can avoid a bad marriage before it begins and give marriage insurance to the engaged and enrich all existing marriages. I know we talked about a couple of steps. Are those the three steps that we're going to review, or are there others, too, that we should just review before our time goes away?
Well, there are five steps. One, do really thorough marriage preparation with an inventory and with trained mentor couples. Two, have an annual event to give all marriages a booster shot. This movie, Fireproof, that came out here about 2-3 years ago, it was produced by actually some Baptist pastors in Georgia.
Sure.
And most of the actors in it are from their own church. Only the two stars were professional actors. So it sold a lot. Well, you can get a little kit from that church that is designed to spark the kind of conversations I'm talking about here to help couples rethink where they are in their marriage and how they can make it a better marriage. The third stage is if the marriage is in crisis, like this one that the couple was just your caller was just asking about, if there's been adultery or some major thing that has broken this marriage apart. But there are couples in every church who've gone through the same thing and come out on the other side, and we need to connect couple A with B. And if you have couples where one person is really insisting on a divorce almost, then instead of trying to get that person into counseling and so on, better to work with a person who has the commitment to the marriage and have that person meet with a friend of the same gender and use the marriage 911 materials that can be ordered from Marriage Savers. They're only $28. Finally, if you have remarriages with children from a previous marriage, you need to create a stepfamily support group. So those are our five answers, and we're willing to help train any churches out there who would like to do this or a group of churches. We were in Minneapolis, St. Paul in 1997. It's probably time for us to come back.
Yeah, we need you and multiples of you really all across the country, it seems like, to really
We had 300 pastors sign our agreement in the Twin Cities in 1997. And that's the biggest group we've had anywhere in the country. And the divorce rate really did go down in both counties.
Now, I know one of the things we were talking a little bit about, just, those that are separated but reconciling. I just wonder if do you have some words of hope maybe for people that are maybe in the midst of a struggle right now and they just think, or maybe there's, family or something cohabiting. And it's just, we need a word of hope, I guess, that we can set this to right.
The word of hope is that Scripture has the wisdom that we need to live. And I mentioned earlier that we need to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And if you read the rest of that passage in Ephesians, it talks about how women are to respect their husbands and how husbands are to love their wives like their own body. And there's a difference, though. It says that husbands are to love their wives and wives are to respect their husbands. Love and respect are different things. And there's a whole video course that you can take called Love and Respect that could be done on a weekend that a church could hold. Love and Respect, you could go online and find that.
Mike McManus joining us today. Let me just mention again the website, marriagesavers.org, and maybe a little sense of what they'll find when they go, the kind of resources you've got. It's a pretty full website, lots of material there.
Lots of material. I need to get a more zippy website. I'm afraid it's not zippy. Let me give you my phone number again. If anyone would like to have their pastor call me, I'm glad to talk to him. It's 301-469-5873. Mike McManus.
And are you encouraged, Mike? You've seen some positive steps, but there's also the society's kind of heading the opposite direction.
An independent study of our work estimates that we've had saved about 100,000 marriages from divorce. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
And the cohabitation rate in the cities that adopt this drops by a third in our cities compared to very similar cities in the same state. And in some cities, we're seeing the marriage rates rise. It doesn't happen in every city, but for example, Modesto, California, over 25 years, doubled their number of weddings. Now, that's partly due to population growth, but it was also a real increase in the weddings. Evansville, Indiana is another example of that. And this means that we can really transform the marriage culture in a city if we do this. But we can certainly do it in any church.
Starts with us, a commitment to say, let's save marriages and reduce divorce rates.
We close with a prayer. You pray for the marriages of the people who are listening.
Mike McManus joining us today from Marriage Savers. Check it out online, marriagesavers.org, or as you mentioned, his phone number, 301-469-5873. Thank you for listening to Connecting Faith.